We certainly have an intriguing combination of readings today. First reading tells us to love, and the gospel tells us to hate. But before we get into that challenge, I'd like to say a word about the latest addition to our chapel, our shrine. Perhaps many of you noticed two holy water fonts there at the two side entrances. If you didn't notice them, I'm pointing them out to you. They were just installed yesterday. And since I'm the one who kind of forced this to happen, I want to give a little explanation of why I think it's very important. First of all, we already have two holy water fonts there, or the traditional name for them is stoop, two stoops at either side of the main entrance. And this is not a very big chapel, so you might say, well, isn't that a little bit of an exaggeration to have four in such a small chapel? Perhaps it might seem like an exaggeration, but I don't think so for this reason. It used to be, up until the time of the pandemic, those side doors were never open because everyone came into the front door, or maybe that door there by the screen, and anyone who wanted to bless himself or herself could do so entering the door. But with the pandemic, remember what happened? Everybody got spread out, and there was a limit to how many people could be inside. And so a lot of people were sitting outside in that courtyard, and so we left the doors open. And in the early days, we thought that we'd try to keep this chapel free of mosquitoes. So we had a screen that covered that whole side, and we kept all those doors closed, and we had screens on all the windows to keep out the mosquitoes. Well, we gave up on that. So now we leave these side doors open all the time. And what's happened since the pandemic days, a lot of people enter the chapel through the side doors. And there's no holy water there. So what was happening, I noticed, people were not blessing themselves when they entered the chapel. And that's a big disadvantage. It's a failure to take advantage of the great gift of holy water. And I notice even people coming into the main doors, sometimes they don't bless themselves. So I'm encouraging you to make good use of holy water when you come into the chapel. In fact, there are two practices for Catholics. When you come into a Catholic church or a Catholic chapel, one is to bless yourself with the holy water, and one is to genuflect to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. That's what you do. So don't forget, those are the basics. Come in, bless yourself, because we are all temples of the Holy Spirit, and this is a temple enshrining the Most Blessed Sacrament. So we pay our due honor to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Now this also gives me an opportunity to say a little bit about why holy water is important, because I have noticed, well, even before the pandemic, the use of holy water was declining, at least personal use. Everyone loves to be sprinkled with holy water. When I do blessings, everyone comes running up to be sprinkled with holy water. So there's an understanding that there's a blessing involved, but people don't use it themselves when they enter the church. So I want to encourage it. And then with the pandemic, it was forbidden. Remember, all the holy water was removed from the churches for a couple of years. So then people fell out of the habit. So in order to point out the importance of the holy water, I want to just refer to the prayer that's used in the blessing of holy water. It will remind us of what this is all about. It's deeply connected to the great sacrament of baptism. Okay, this is in the rite for blessing of water. It's the priest says this: by this blessing of water, we recall the sacrament of baptism, in which by water and the Holy Spirit we were reborn. Every time we are sprinkled with this water, or we use it in making the sign of the cross upon entering the church and in our prayer at home, we give thanks to God for his gift beyond human telling, and we implore his help so that we may live up to the sacrament which we have received by faith. It's a very rich little instruction there. Okay, we recall the great sacrament of baptism every time we are sprinkled with the water. When we are sprinkled with water, the tradition is make the sign of the cross. And every time we use it in making the sign of the cross upon entering the church, which is why we put those two new holy water fonts there. When you enter the church, bless yourself. And in our prayer at home. This is another thing. I encourage every Catholic home to have holy water and to make use of it. So especially when you have any special intention, somebody's sick, if someone's traveling, if there's any issue that comes up in the family, or anytime you want to pray, use holy water. And in our prayer at home, we give thanks to God for his gift beyond human telling. So we're not just practicing an empty ritual, we're celebrating a gift that is beyond human telling. We can't express how great the gift of baptism is, the gift of salvation is, which we receive by faith and baptism. And we implore his help, God's help, so that we may live up to the sacrament which we have received by faith. So that's part of what we do. And that's why holy water is so important. Not only that, holy water is a very powerful weapon against evil spirits and their influence. So use holy water, okay? Enough advertising for holy water. 1, 2, 3, 4 sources right here in this little chapel. Okay, let's take a look at, and now I've used up all our time here, but I want to take a look at these intriguing readings. I say the first reading from the beautiful letter of Paul to the Romans has a beautiful summary of the law and the prophets' love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Could hardly say it more simply than that. Love. Whoever loves one another has fulfilled the law. Whatever commandment there may be, Paul says. He lists a few of them. He says, whatever commandment there is, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well then, why does Jesus in the gospel say we should hate ourselves? And hate our parents and hate our children and our brothers and sisters? Isn't that a little bit shocking? Jesus often uses disturbing language. Now, every single commentary that you look up on this passage will say, well, Jesus doesn't really mean you have to hate your parents or hate your children. Every commentary says that. But then why did Jesus say it? He must have a reason. And he certainly said it because it's right here in the gospel. And no gospel writer, like St. Luke in this case, would dare put that in there if Jesus didn't say it. Well, it's clear that Jesus is making a very strong point. And the strong point that he's making is the absolute priority of love of God. Absolute priority, love of God. So that nothing else can take the place of love of God. By comparison to love of God, everything else is hated or rejected. Now, of course, as every commentary says, we're not supposed to hate our parents or children or brothers or sisters, or ourselves. That would be in violation of the commandment, would be in violation of what St. Paul says in the first reading, love your neighbor as yourself. So yes, don't hate anyone. Hate evil. In fact, that was just yesterday's first reading. Another selection from Romans. Let love be sincere, hate what is evil. So, our parents and children and brothers and sisters are not evil. But idolatry is evil. Anything that takes the place of God is evil. It takes the priority of God is evil. So don't let any love crowd God out of the center of your life. Because if you do that, that's evil. I hate that. That's what Jesus is emphasizing here. Now, another way we can tell that he doesn't mean hate in the usual sense, is that his explanation of what he means here is a good clarification. One explanation is about a man building a tower. Now, when someone sits down to build a tower or plans to build a tower, he doesn't say, in order to build this tower, I'm going to hate my children. He says, I'm going to calculate the cost to see if I have enough to make it possible to complete the project. And what Jesus is saying here, what does it cost to complete the project of the spiritual life? God first. That's what it costs. Put God first all the time, even above your spouse, even above your children, above your closest friend, everyone. When the king, marching into battle, tries to figure out whether he can win or not, he doesn't say, in order to win this battle, I'm going to hate my children. He says, can I overcome this opposing army, which is bigger than mine? What Jesus is saying is, be aware of the cost, be aware of the battle into which you're entering when you say you're going to put God first. So, and then his last instruction is, every one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. So renouncing of possessions does not mean not owning anything, but it means not owning anything absolutely. Everything belongs to God, everything we have comes from God, and it's for the purposes for which God has given them to us. So we renounce them in that sense. We entrust them to the will of God, everything. See how absolute it is. That's why it really goes very well with what Paul says about love. Love. Love does no evil to the neighbor. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So if we want to love, put God first. In fact, the best thing we can do for our father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even for ourselves, the best thing we can do, the most loving thing we can do for them, is to love God first. Because then we'll be instruments of God for their good. Okay, so these readings work together very well, and that's as much as I'll say. So use holy water and love God. Amen.